Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022, presented by Odyssey and Locked On Podcast Network.
The Jacksonville Jaguars will win the AFC South.
Texans, how you feel about that one?
No.
That's right. It's time for another episode of the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022, presented by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network. This eight-episode series will take you division by division, making sure that you are getting all of your questions answered about every single NFL team ahead of the NFL season. And of course, we're going to be joined all throughout this series by our Locked On local experts who cover your favorite teams every single Monday through Friday and know them back and forth like the backs of their hands. We're also going to be joined by betting expert Lee Sterling to help you set the edge and bring home some cash this NFL season, and former NFL scout Matt Williamson of the Peacock and Williamson NFL show to bring you his predictions for each division. And I am your host, Ross Jackson, the daily host of the Locked On Saints podcast, here to take you through division by division and answer all of your burning questions ahead of the NFL season. On today's episode, it's the AFC South. The Tennessee Titans are looking to take home the title yet again, but the Indianapolis Colts stand in the way with the newly minted starting quarterback, Matt Ryan. And of course, the Jacksonville Jaguars might be one of the most improved teams in not only the AFC, but the NFL. And of course, Houston has moved on from the biggest story of the offseason with Davis Mills at the helm. Let's get it started with the AFC South.
Make or break.
The Tennessee Titans took away that AFC South division in 2021. Can they repeat, or will Matt Ryan reinvigorate the Indianapolis Colts? And oh yeah, the Texans Jaguars are there too. No, I'm just kidding. There's a ton going on in the AFC South. And to help us break it all down, we've got our good friends from across the Locked On Podcast Network, the local experts that cover these teams every single Monday through Friday. Tyler Rowland, Locked On Titans. We've got Jake Arthur and Zach Hicks, Locked On Colts. Cody Davis, one half of Locked On Texans. Shout out to John Hickman, who I know is under the weather. We hope you're feeling well soon again, buddy. And of course, the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Tony Wiggins of Locked On Jaguars. Tyler, we're going to start off with you and the Tennessee Titans. Since they won the dang thing last year, what do the Tennessee Titans fans and others who are watching around the NFC South need to keep in mind in terms of the biggest story around the Titans?
Well, just to set the record straight here, the Titans are trying to win the division 3 years in a row upcoming year. And in Titans history, that hasn't happened maybe as much as fans want. So we got to celebrate the once that they do get. But obviously you want to see Derrick Henry bounce back. Derrick Henry, when he's at his best, he can be a game-changing player. He has an incredible effect on the defense. The numbers bear it out. How many times teams are putting eight men in the box against a Derrick Henry-led backfield. So can Derrick Henry get back to that all-pro form coming off injury? I think that's probably the biggest story. Outside of that, you got to look at Ryan Tannehill and his bounce-back performance. So it really comes down to, are you someone who believed Tannehill could be more? Are you somebody who believed that Tannehill isn't the guy? Whatever you want to see over the last 3 years, you've gotten something to bolster your position. Tannehill, coming off that three-interception performance against the Bengals, was admittedly, he said it himself, at the lowest of his lows and had to work his way back. Can he be a guy who can be that 2020-2019 version of himself again, with hopefully an improved cast of characters around him and an improved pass-blocking unit up front? Those are probably the two biggest stories, looking at the bounce back of Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. Outside of that, Titans fans know the defense looks like it could be incredible this year, led by Jeffrey Simmons. Can they go to that next level as a defense, to one of the top five defenses in the league? Those are probably the big things you're looking at for the Tennessee Titans this year.
And that Tennessee Titans defense is going to have a lot to work with when it comes to the division rivals across the way, the Indianapolis Colts. So Jake Arthur, Zach Hicks, Locked On Colts, I come to you next, whichever one of you guys wants to kick us off. What do the Colts have to do in 2022 in terms of their biggest story in order to be successful this season?
Yeah, I think I can speak for both of us when everything starts with the addition of Matt Ryan on offense. You know, quarterback was the difference, it felt like, in so many matchups last year. You know, the team overall played well. You know, they'd get a big performance from Jonathan Taylor. The defense would do its job. It, you know, would get some takeaways. But just the inconsistency in the quarterback play was just the difference between some wins and losses. And at the end of the year, when it was absolutely critical and all they needed to do was beat a couple of beatable teams in the Raiders and Jaguars, they got nothing out of the quarterback. And so you bring in a guy like Matt Ryan, who, you know, he's been the MVP before, but he's never been Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. He's never had that type of notoriety. But you get consistency with him. You know, he's a 4,000-yard guy, 63-65% completions. He's not a guy that is going to usually let you down. So as far as offense goes, that's kind of where you got to start. And, Zach, I know there's definitely a few more big areas to pay attention to.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Obviously, it all starts and ends with Matt Ryan, and that was the difference between the Colts maybe being a wild card team last year and being, you know, where they were going into the draft. But for me, I think another big storyline to watch for the Colts is what this defense does with Gus Bradley. You know, they've had Matt Eberflus the last couple of years, a defense coordinator who was good enough to get, you know, a head coaching job with the Chicago Bears. Now they're bringing in a guy in Gus Bradley where there's been some good and there's been some very bad. Obviously with the Jacksonville Jaguars, it wasn't great. With the Seattle Seahawks back in the day, it was very good. So what kind of Gus Bradley are they getting, and can he take this Indianapolis Colts defense to the next level? I know there are a lot of people who believe that the Indianapolis Colts can go from, you know, a fringe top 10 defense to maybe a top five defense with Gus Bradley. But I still think that's going to be one of the biggest things to watch. You know, are they getting the Jacksonville Jaguars, Gus Bradley, or are they getting this Legion of Boom or even the Chargers level of Gus Bradley?
So coaching changes, absolutely a great segue going into the Houston Texans and the Jacksonville Jaguars here. Cody Davis, Locked On Texans, we'll start with you. What's the biggest story down in Houston, or is the biggest story now in Cleveland?
Well, yeah, the biggest story is now in Cleveland. Thank God we ain't got to worry about that foolishness no more. But because the big story is in Cleveland now, it's part of the reason why when you talk about the Houston Texans in 2022, you're looking at the next big story, and that is Davis Mills. Can Davis Mills take the step forward and showcase some promise that he could be this team's franchise quarterback moving forward? The Texans are doing good by him, giving him a fair opportunity in 2022, and if he does great, then the Houston Texans could continue building their roster. They could continue building this rebuild, and they can hopefully get back to the team that was supposed to be with the Deshaun Watson era, which is a team running the AFC South and competing for a playoffs and championships. But of course, if Davis Mills does not pan out, then of course, you know, they have multiple draft picks. They can go out there in 2023, and we all know 2023 23 draft class for the quarterback class is going to be very, very deep. So that is one thing to keep an eye on. Of course, the success of Davis Mills. And then I think the next biggest storyline, Michael, underrated, because of course, we are going to keep track on the wins and the losses of the Houston Texans. And of course, everybody in the league. But us here on Locked On Texans, we talk about this a lot. You know, how is this new regime is going to rebuild the Houston Texans off the field, how they're going to get their respect level back around the NFL? Because you guys know, ever since they blew the 24-0 lead to Kansas City, trading DeAndre Hopkins, and, you know, you go out and hire David Culley, fire Bill O'Brien. Like, it's just been nothing but a complete nonsense type of show down here in the city of Houston. Ever since they hired Lovie Smith, ever since they promoted Pep Hamilton to offensive coordinator, to be honest with you guys, it finally feels like for the first time ever that I'm covering a normal NFL team. And it just seems like it's just a breath of fresh air around that organization as of right now. And I think that's going to determine a lot on the success of the Houston Texans for this upcoming season.
From a team that has question marks in terms of what's going to happen at quarterback in the future with Houston, to a team that in this beautiful city of Jacksonville, one of, I believe, the most underrated cities in the United States, but in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, where quarterback may not be the biggest question mark, is Trevor Lawrence the biggest story in Jacksonville? Tony Wiggins, Locked On Jaguars, or are you looking elsewhere?
He's half of the biggest story. Mm. And with Cody using words like incompetence and real football team, I ran out of adjectives because I thought he was describing us. Because as we all know, Jacksonville has been the poster child for dysfunction as far as the way a football team is supposed to be ran. And it got even worse last year when King Joffrey, Urban Meyer, took over and just really made this place a horrible, horrible team to cover. Players walking around pouting and everything else. So that's why I say Trevor's half of it, because the other half is Doug Peterson. And what I mean by that is it gives you a solid ground to stand on. It gives you a foundation. And regardless of what the record is, you know that you're probably going to be headed in the right direction. One of my things that I hold on to is combinations between coach and quarterback. You had Ross, you had Breeze, and, of course, Sean Payton. There was Belichick and Brady. There's Tomlin, Roethlisberger. There was Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. There's always been this connection between coach and quarterback, and when you get those two things right simultaneously, it usually turns a franchise around. So as crazy as it's been for us to get to this point, you can only think that the sky's the limit. Now what we want to see is competence, and we want to see that it is going in the right direction. I'm not going to put a cap on what I think their record is going to be, but I do think a part of me is going to be satisfied that at the end of this year, when we do this next year, since you're going by record, that I won't be going last again for the fifth straight year. And that would mean that we're headed in the right direction. So I'm looking for the combination of Doug Peterson and his quiet hand and his credibility, along with the talent of Trevor Lawrence, to kind of come together and at least give hope to the future that the Jaguars are suddenly starting to ascend and build in the right direction.
When it came to quarterback coach pairings, I was surprised you didn't mention Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Sorry. Never mind.
Yeah, right.
Ignore that. I see you were talking about for the right reasons now. So next up, as we go through, and you've all been very kind to one another, but now it's time to get a little rude. So we're going to predict our division finishes for the AFC South.
Division predictions.
Let's kick us off there. We're going to hear from our good friend Matt Williamson of the Peacock and Williamson NFL show, which he has given his own prediction of how the AFC South is going to wrap up.
AFC South, we're going 4-1 in the South. I'm going to go Houston. I might surprise some folks. Tennessee at 3, Jacksonville at 2, Colts at 1. I think Houston's a year away from being a year away. You know, they're still really rebuilding. They just don't have the talent the other teams in this division have right now. And I'm a Davis Mills fan, but I just don't trust this organization to win a lot of games. Tennessee's a team. I know they were, you know, the number one seed in the AFC last year, and I respect that organization. I think they have a really good defense. I think Vrabel's a very good coach. But I just think if you count on that offense, Tannehill at his age, Henry at his age, Burks instead of A.J. Brown, a much worse offensive line than people realize, Woods coming off an injury, I think that side of the ball could be a disaster. And the Colts are just super solid. And I think Matt Ryan's a bit of an upgrade. I think that they're really well, you know, positioned to win this division, probably by a couple games. And I saved the Jags for last because I just think that they actually are going to make progress. And I might eat those words, but I think their front seven is really physical, really talented with young players. I still believe Lawrence is going to be a star. And just the coaching change there is the biggest coaching change upgrade of any team in the league. I think they get to maybe 8 or 9 wins.
Absurd. I'm coming out of the gate with this. One thing that I consistently said all the time is the infatuation with the Colts organization from national media types is absurd. I mean, Chris Ballard does not deserve the respect that he's given. If you look at his overall record, which is just barely over 500, they're on their fifth quarterback in 5 years. Their pass catching group is one of the worst in the NFL, bottom five. The offensive line hasn't been addressed, and you're still relying on some young guys up front. I get that the Colts are going to be a good team, and I think them and the Titans will be within a game of each other. But for him to have the Colts taking over, the Titans haven't had a losing season in 6 years. In 5 years, like, they went 12-5 last year. I think that they will take a step back, and I have them at less than 12 wins. But to have the Jaguars over the Titans, Matt, come back to me a little bit. Even if he put the Colts over the Titans by like a game, like Colts 10-6 or Titans 9-8, you know, I would at least be able to, like, you know, not have the smoke coming out of my ears like a Looney Tune right now. But to have them third Jacksonville? Tony, you wouldn't put, if you had a gun to your head, you wouldn't say Jacksonville is going to be better than Tennessee this year. So I just, Matt, you're killing
Well,
me.
Hold on. No, wait. Tony Wiggins lost to the Jaguars. Yeah. Will the Jaguars be better than the Tennessee Titans this year?
You're damn right. And that money, hey.
You said you'd be better than Houston last year, Tony. Hey. You killed Cody and John and said that Jacksonville would be better than Houston by far. Yeah. We laughed. It was a big joke. And look what happened. You did it again, man. Two for two.
Somehow I knew if anybody said anything bad about any one of y'all, it was going to come back on me. So I'm going to tell you right now, I'm prepared for it. See, let me tell you something. You remember that dude who you used to call ugly because he was ugly in elementary school?
Well, I remember being that dude. Yes.
Yeah. Well, most of those dudes grow up to become stand-up comedians. And you know what they do? They call you ugly back because they heard it all, and you can't hurt their feelings. That's how I feel as a Jaguar fan, man. Or somebody that covers this team. There's nothing. Do you understand something? Watch my hand. There is nothing you can say that's going to hurt my feelings. You understand what I'm saying? There's nothing you're going to say. We've been down so long, man. I don't even dislike the coach, but the fact is, y'all been quiet, but I'm going to take a swing at y'all first. Y'all ain't make the playoffs because of us, period. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, absolutely.
So the thing is I knew when Matt Williams said that, the first person who's going to say my name was that dude in Tennessee. I'm telling you, man, y'all days are over.
It's outrageous.
And I'm going to tell you why you got that way, because you got all self-righteous on the Colts in the offseason, and you were talking about their GM, and I told you, your GM need to have his butt whipped.
Where's the He has a way better record as a GM than Chris Ballard.
But he gave Ryan Tannehill all that money. So here's the thing. The pass is the pass. And we talked about
the number one seed last year.
We ain't going to bring up old stuff. We bring up the fact that we got Trevor Lawrence, and we have a coach that's won a Super Bowl. So we are on, as the sisters say, we are on our way up. You see what I'm saying? So, anybody else got any bad thing to say about us, y'all go ahead. But that money I paid Matt Williamson really came in handy for him to say.
I'll say something. I actually like the Jacksonville Jaguars this year. I mean, you know, I'm coming from the Indianapolis Colts person. I'm a big Doug Peterson fan. I mean, obviously, we study a lot of Frank Reich when he was coming here. I like the Jacksonville Jaguars. Maybe not more than the Titans, but, I like them. But it is very, like, you know, little brother complex that everyone has to just throw the punches at the Colts, even though we're just sitting here chilling. You know, we don't care. But to push back a little bit on the Chris Ballard stuff, I mean, they literally had their superstar quarterback walk off the field in preseason. The fact that they've had over 500 records since then, I don't think
he's had 5 years. 5 years. Genius. Find a quarterback. Like, that's how I feel. Not you, Chris Ballard. Like, he's so good. He had 5 years.
Real quick. First year, Andrew Luck's hurt. You're not going to just get a new quarterback. You have Andrew Luck. Second year, Andrew Luck comes back, and they make the playoffs, and they win a playoff game. Okay. Third year, Andrew Luck walks off right before the game starts, right before the season starts, so he's gone. So they have to play another Jacoby Brissett season because what do you do? You guys would throw out Logan Woodside if that happened to you. You know,
don't get me started on him. I'm his worst fan, let me tell you.
Right. So right after that, then they bring in Philip Rivers, go to the playoffs again. And then they tried the Carson Wentz experiment, which none of us are going to argue that was great, okay? None of us are going to sit here and say, ooh, that was amazing. But you're saying 5 years, like they didn't have a quarterback for 5 years. They had Andrew Luck, you know, plan for three of them. It's just how.
Well, Zach, let me ask you this question now. Talking about the Indianapolis Colts, you talk about Matt Ryan a lot. I think where the Indianapolis Colts may be right now is in a position where there are other spots of their team that aren't good enough to be the team that people expect them to be. Yeah, maybe you've got Matt Ryan in there who's a steady hand, but the offensive line isn't as good as it was when they had Phillip Rivers, another older quarterback. The pass catching weapons haven't really improved much. From them, T.Y. Hilton's no longer a factor. So I feel like there are other areas of the Colts that have gotten worse that now having just that steady hand isn't going to be enough to get them where people see. Do you think that those areas are shored up more than maybe I think?
So do you know who their leading pass catcher was with Phillip Rivers? Do you know who it was, their leading receiver?
Ashton Doolin.
Zach Pascal. Pascal with 600 yards receiving, and they still made the playoffs. The pass catching, honestly, right now, their pass catching unit is better than what it's been for almost all of Chris Ballard's tenure. You know, T.Y. Hilton, obviously, in 2018 was their best, but Michael Pittman Jr. is coming off a 1,000-yard season. They have Nyheim Hines coming back with a quarterback that can actually get him the ball. So that's something right there. But no, this is
your second best pass catcher as a running back.
Right.
Don't slander running backs that are team's second best pass catchers. Okay. Right. Don't be mad about the fact that Derrick Henry can't catch passes. All right.
Right. He only runs the ball.
Michael Pittman is a boss. I don't see it after that.
I'll say one thing real quick, and then we'll let Cody actually say something because he's just hanging out.
Well, I'm gonna go to Cody here in a second to get his prediction for the division. That's where we're going. So
let me just say one thing real quick. I know the offensive line gets, you know, people, all the offensive line sucks or whatever, but they have like three Pro Bowl players on the offensive line. They have an All-Pro in Quentin Nelson. They have Ryan Kelly, who's always in the Pro Bowl. They have Braden Smith, who is a Pro Bowl alternate. Like, yeah, Danny Pinter and Matt Pryor maybe not studs or anything like that, but it's not like this offensive line is like the worst in the league. They have three guys who are either Pro Bowls or around Pro Bowl level. It's not like this is like a terrible offensive line.
I agree.
Speaking of that offensive line, we'll get to impact players as well as newcomers here in just a second. Real quick, I want to get to everybody here. I want to start with Cody because Cody has – it must be nice that for once the heat's not on the Texans guy for a change. So, you know, he's just watching it all fly around. But, Cody, let's start with you here. 4-1, give us your division finish prediction in the AFC South.
I'm conflicted about two teams. That's – Well, how can I do that's Jacksonville and the Colts. I say that because one, I'm not too sure how much Matt Ryan has left in the tank. And I've never been a believer in Matt Ryan. And I might be the Saints fan in me because although I cover the Houston Texans, I am originally from New Orleans, which means I have seen a lot of Matt Ryan's games. And of course, I was rooting for the team that's wearing black and gold. But I just don't know how much Matt Ryan has left in the tank. The Jacksonville Jaguars, even though I hate to say it, we are kind of in the same boat to where it's been a poo-poo show over the last 2-3 seasons. But for the first time, it's like there's some promise and some hope. And just like Jacksonville, if our young quarterback can show some promise and actually be better than his rookie campaign, then of course we're going to be a lot better than that. But all I can say is I love how people are sleeping on the Texans because remember, this time last year, they thought we was going to be 1-16 and 0-17. And with David Culley, Tim Kelly, and Deshaun Watson still in the building, the Houston Texans still won 4 games. And of course, this year, as I mentioned, the atmosphere and everything surrounding this organization is a lot better. But what I would say is I do believe that this AFC South division for the final time is going to mirror how it looked last year with Jacksonville last, us at three, Indy at two, and of course Tennessee at one. And I understand a lot of people, they're talking about Ryan Tannehill, but I think they got the best rookie quarterback that is waiting for his turn in Malik Willis. And I'm a Malik Willis fan, and I just think if you replace Willis with Tannehill at some point during the season, of course you gotta roll with Tennessee. And I know people in Houston are gonna hate to hear me say that because we still waiting to get our colors back, but you know, it is what it is.
Tony, let's come to you next. Locked on Jaguars now. Colts, Jaguars, Titans, you guys got all of your got you know all your stuff out here. Second out. So just give me 4-1 your division finish prediction. Tony, let's go with you next.
Houston's gonna be fourth. The Texans going the Titans going to be third, the Colts going to be second, and the Jaguars going to win the division.
Wow. I love it.
The Jacksonville Jaguars will win the division based on the fact that they're going to go 5-1 in the division, and they're going to also play well in their non-divisional schedule. The Jacksonville Jaguars will win the AFC South, and Cody is going to have a heart attack.
How in the world are you going to have them going 5-1 in the division? And you guys lost to a terrible Houston Texans team, not once, but twice last season.
That was last year, Cody.
They had definitely beat the Colts in Jacksonville. I know that.
They have no coach. And by the way, Tyler, you talking all that noise about Jacksonville. Your best player is from Jacksonville, and he's my wife's cousin, okay? So, there you go. I don't want to hear no
more. Tell him to unblock me on Twitter.
Oh, he blocked you? Okay, good. He probably blocked you because of that crap. You talk about my city. So, but
can't talk about other people's money.
No. Really, last year the Jaguars absolutely did not have a coach. They were really the epitome of what dysfunction is. I actually think by default, in a weird sort of way, sort of like the 76ers did in basketball, they got good because – Trayvon Walker is the real deal. And some of the other parts now that they had driving the bus don't have to drive the bus. They can be in the second and third seat. I really think that Trevor Lawrence, we forget this about Trevor, and I'll be honest. He had surgery before the draft process last year. He was rehabbing.
Here we go with the excuses.
No, it's not an excuse. It's valid. He was actually, they started him off very, very slow in training camp because he was still rehabbing his shoulder injury. And he never got a chance to learn how to, the ball pops out of his hand this year like, we haven't seen. I think they're gonna surprise some people and do maybe what the Bengals did last year.
It's a way to go. Jake and Zach locked on Colts. What are your division finish predictions? Zach, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, so I'll be pretty quick with it. I think the Texans will be at the bottom, 4-5 wins as expected. I think the Jaguars are gonna surprise some people, some 8-9 wins. I think they're a good team. I have them at 3. I have the Titans at 2 with 9-10 wins, and then the Colts at 1 with 10-11 wins.
Love it. Jake, agree or disagree?
Yeah, that's honestly the exact same lineup I've got as well. I do expect both the Jaguars and Texans to be better than a lot of people think. I don't think they're going to be the easy layup win, the doormats, you know, especially Jacksonville. They seem like one of those teams that just having like a Doug Peterson to make things stable and not insane should be the difference in a lot of games. So, and Trevor Lawrence is the real deal. I think the division as a whole will be better, but I think the Colts finally get to swap it at the end and actually finish on top against the Titans. Cause it's always those two at the end, every single year, it seems like, but I think the Colts finally do it this time around.
Tyler Rowland locked on Titans. Take us home.
Okay. So, Houston Texans 5-12, Jacksonville Jaguars 7-10. Indianapolis Colts 9-8, Tennessee Titans 10-7.
There you go, nice and easy. So we spoke a little bit about Ryan Tannehill, Trevor Lawrence, Matt Ryan, Davis Mills, but what about the other impact players that make it all go over on the offensive side, or the guys that make it all stop over on the defensive side? We'll get to the impact players and new faces that you need to know as we continue on with the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022. Up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Impact Players.
All right, everybody, continuing on with the Ultimate Preview 2022 presented by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network. It is the AFC South. And of course, there's no me in team, depending upon how you spell it. You could spell it wrong, and then technically there'd be an ME in there. But anyway, what it does come down to, though, are impact players as well as the new faces that have been added to try to make a roster better year over year. We'll start with the Jacksonville Jaguars here. Tony Wiggins of Locked On Jaguars. Outside of Trevor Lawrence, who you brought up earlier, who are some of the impact players that folks need to know?
I mentioned Trevon Walker because of his physicality. Mm-hmm. We knew what type of athlete he was. He's been super disruptive in the preseason action that he's had. It's not just chasing the quarterback. It's when the play's going to the other side of the field. If you recall in the national championship game against Alabama, a wide receiver was running for a touchdown, and he got caught from the other side of the field by Trevon Walker. He's done those types of things in practice already to the point where he's been doubled in preseason games early, and he's very, very disruptive. Another one under the radar is Foye Oluwakan, and I know you know him, Ross, because he led the league in tackles last year with the Atlanta Falcons, and they have a quarterback finally in this system that they're going to run. It's the Mike Caldwell system from – he was the linebackers coach in Tampa. So if you can imagine Devin Lloyd and Foye Oluwakan side by side the way Levante David and Devin White were in Tampa, that's sort of what they're running now, and it's sort of working. And remember, there's Josh Allen on the other side. Offensively, yep. Christian Kirk and Zay Jones are professional pass catchers. They might not be a number one, but with the way Doug schemes things up, I look back at the Super Bowl when they beat the Patriots. He had Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar catching passes. So I think those guys, and along with the system that's in place, I think those complementary pieces will help Trevor. And that's why I think they're going to have a real breakout season.
Cody Davis, Locked On Texans. Impact players around Davis Mills. And does it all come down to the rookie from Florida?
Of course, and that's where I'm going. The rookie from Florida, Damian Pierce. Look, guys, for everyone to understand what type of impact Damian Pierce is going to have on this run game, put it like this. Prior to Thursday's preseason game against the San Francisco 49ers, Lovie Smith told us that Damian Pierce was going to play majority all of the first half so he could get a true sense of how good he is. He played one drive. The Houston Texans recorded 72 yards in that drive, and Damian Pierce accounted for nearly 40 and the touchdown, and we did not see him no more the rest of that game. Outside of Damian Pierce, I'm also looking at second-year wide receiver Nico Collins. As you guys know, know it seemed like last year Brandon Cooks was the only solid wide receiver in the wide receiving unit last year, but Nico Collins, a 6'4 wide out, it seems like this year he has learned how to use his body. He's using his speed, and I do believe he's going to be very important to help the Houston Texans score more in the red zone area. All you got to do is go back and take a look at the Texans touchdown to close out the second preseason game against the Los Angeles Rams. He did a great job catching the ball in the end zone. And you guys know it always in Texans always had a decent or a very good defensive line unit going back to the days with J.J. Watt. But secondary was already a question. The secondary is no longer a question when you add in Jalen Petre and Derek Stingley Jr.
Oh, man, Jalen Petre was one of my favorite draft prospects in this year's draft. I was excited that he ended up.
Good too. Ooh, he's looking good.
He was fun to watch against the Saints that first preseason game. Should have had a pick, but it was stolen from him. He was right under it, and another DB came and swept it away. I was real upset about it. Jake Arthur and Zach Hicks, Locked On Colts. Maybe you guys have a couple of impact players between the two of you, but outside of Matt Ryan, who are some of the players that folks should be keeping an eye out on?
Yeah. Zach, I guess I'll take a couple defensive guys. So everyone knows DeForest Buckner, Shaquille Leonard, Kenny Moore. But there's a few guys that really need to be paid attention to on defense. Yannick Ngakoue, the expectation / hope is that he comes in and gives them the first alpha pass rusher that they've had since Robert Mathis retired, honestly. It's been that long.
It's been a minute.
it's been a group effort, and that hasn't always been fruitful, not going to lie to you. But they're hoping Yannick gives them that 9, 10, 11 sacks and kind of helps Quiddy Pay come along. But Stephon Gilmore, I can only go based off of what I've seen in training camp every day. The guy looks like the lockdown corner that everyone knows. Now, I'm not going to be naive. He is older, and, you know, I'm sure he's not the 2019 Defensive Player of the Year version. But the guy was the best player in training camp for the Colts, and that's significant for a shutdown corner. But Julian Blackmon, as the free safety in this new Gus Bradley scheme, is the single high guy. He looks like he was born to play this role in this defense. And it's so bizarre because he had an Achilles that ended last season midway through the year. And he came back this summer and hasn't missed a beat. It never looked like he had a serious injury like that. He's flying across the field. He's diving for interceptions. I think he leads the team in picks through camp with a few of them. They've all been kind of acrobatic or really high effort ones. He's a really tough player. I think Tyler can attest. He took it upon himself to challenge Derrick Henry and go toe to toe. And he looked good doing it. I mean, Derrick Henry was Derrick Henry. Don't get me wrong. But Julian Blackmon and Kenny Moore, a couple small guys, wanted to make it happen. And they did. So defensively, we're really expecting some big things, but I'll let Zach point out some other guys that he's thinking of as well.
Yeah, no, just to tackle some offensive guys, we're talking impact player. Is it, you know, outside of Matt Ryan on offense, it goes down to Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman Jr., and then the third one is getting 9 points this year. Others should have vast increase in their stats going from a quarterback who was 28th in on-target passes last year to 8th in on-target passes, Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's going to be able to get the ball out quick and efficiently to players like Hines and Taylor at the backfield, but also a receiver like Michael Pittman Jr., who had his breakout season last year. He's going to only get better with more experience and with a better quarterback. So the offense is going to run through those three guys, and outside of that, it's on, you know, some other players to step up and give some little production. But it's going to be a lot of what we saw last year with just a more efficient passing game.
Tyler, Locked On Titans, we'll finish this one up with you. Impact players outside of the guys that you've mentioned already, specifically in Ryan Tannehill, who's going to help make it all happen.
Yeah, of course, we've talked, you know, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill. Right. I think on the Titans offensive side of the ball, it's easy. It needs to be Treylon Burks. They have Robert Woods, who is going to be a consistent veteran, of course. Nothing to, you know, snub your nose at there. But Robert Woods isn't an explosive playmaker by any means. He's just a very solid vet who's going to get open and do the right things. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, he's just another guy who's going to be out there. He blocks really well, but he's not going to be an explosive playmaker either. They're really looking at rookie Treylon Burks. He's got to find a way to stay on the field, create explosive plays. I know there's been a little up and down conversation about Burks in the preseason. It's all nonsense. He's out there with the backup quarterbacks. He's been wide open in the preseason multiple times and not gotten the ball. The Titans, admittedly, Mike Vrabel said they're not scheming up touches for Treylon Burks, which if you watch Treylon Burks during college, for any time, you know those schemed up touches, getting him on quick slants and quick screens, getting the ball in his hand on jet sweeps, things like that. That's where he excels. So he hasn't really been put in a position to succeed, and he's still been good catching his first touchdown pass in the third preseason game. So Treylon Burks, a guy who maybe doesn't, you know, pop make the eyes pop, though, but I think will have a big impact on offense, is tight end Austin Hooper. The tight ends, the Titans maybe had one of the worst tight end groups in the NFL in 2021, and now they have Austin Hooper. They have a rookie tight end in Chigakonkwo, who I pounded the table for during the pre-draft process, and luckily he was able to get on the team. I think both those guys can help a lot. Austin Hooper in that intermediate range, moving the chains. Chigakonkwo and those backside bootlegs, quick dump offs with yards after catch opportunities. On defense, people know Kevin Byard and Jeffrey Simmons, but I think Christian Fulton really looked like a lockdown cornerback last year. And Kevin Byard has said he needs to be a Pro Bowler this year. So Christian Fulton. And then at linebacker, people don't talk about this guy, and people scoff at the Titans linebacker group, but David Long Jr. for the Tennessee Titans, a late-round draft pick from 2019. He's come in here. He's the best linebacker on the team. He's good in coverage. He is physical against the run, coming downhill. I think he's a guy that doesn't get a lot of pub, who's a lot better than people know. So David Long Jr. from the Tennessee Titans, one of the most underrated players in the NFL, in my opinion.
That's a great, great bit of insight. Thank you, Tyler. Let's go over to the Colts real quick as we get to our last question before we get to Lee Sterling, who will let you know whether or not putting your money down on Tony Wiggins and the AFC South champion Jacksonville Jaguars is a good or bad selection, or good or bad option there. To wrap us up, Jake, Zach, Locked On Colts, give me maybe one each, your the most important newcomer for the team, whether that be on the roster or even maybe on the coaching staff.
New faces.
The answers are probably going to be on defense with Stephon Gilmore or Yannick Ngakoue, but I'm going to stay on offense, and I'm going to go with Alec Pierce, the rookie receiver they just took in the second round. Like I just mentioned, the Colts have their big three on offense. It's going to run through Nyheim Hines, Jonathan Taylor, and Michael Pittman Jr. They need one more guy to really emerge as a constant threat. Alec Pierce had a really strong training camp for the Colts. The Colts are sky high on him. They've really been trying to test him throughout all of camp. You know, they put Stephon Gilmore on him every single day to just improve his ability and press, improve what he can do. And they really want him to come out the gates and be that starting Z wide receiver. And I do think that Alec Pierce is going to turn some heads for the Indianapolis Colts this year.
Jake, do you go the same way? Is it the Cincinnati Bearcat, or is there another player you'd like to highlight?
Yeah, I don't want to keep repeating this on some of the same guys we've said. So I'll bring in another guy that seems like he'll make an impact, and that's rookie safety Nick Cross. He's been really good during the preseason and training camp. You know, he's a really, really athletic, rangy guy that they liked enough to already label him as the starting strong safety. And so far through the preseason, I think he's batted away three passes in the end zone. And honestly, the Colts safety play in the red zone the last several years that I can remember has been not great. You know, if you're going to get a touchdown in the red zone against the Colts, attack their safeties. And so that being one of his areas of strength so far, I think that's going to be huge. Plus, you know, if Julian Blackmon is roaming the back half and flying all over the place and Nick Cross is up in the box, he has shown that he is built to thump guys, these running backs in the box, and keep things in front of him. So if he just keeps growing and avoids some of the critical rookie mistakes, I think he'll be a huge addition to the defense.
Let's go to the 2022 AFC South champion Jacksonville Jaguars. Tony Wiggins, most important new face in Jacksonville for 2022.
We talk a lot about Trevor Lawrence throwing the football, but I always say if a team is going to be successful, they have to be able to run in two occasions, when they want to and when they have to. And you want to run to set up play action for your quarterback. But when you have to is when you need to convert third downs and short yardage situations to keep possession of the ball, or when you have the game, when you're up late and you don't want the other team back on the field. So Brandon Sheriff, and I used to say Sheriff, but it is pronounced Sheriff. the all-pro guard from Washington that they signed to solidify the right guard position. I think it's incredibly critical for a team that has two young guys battling at right tackle in Walker Little and Juwan Taylor. They re-signed Cam Robinson at left tackle. The thing is when you get a guy that's proven to be an all-pro, and I've watched him in action, be a leader, that will allow them to run the ball when they want to and when they have to, right? And that will enable them to get play action for Trevor to keep some of the pressure off of him, and it will allow them to extend possessions. And if you extend possessions, you have a chance in the National Football League to be victorious.
This is why you come to the Locked On Podcast Network, because we show the offensive linemen love here. We show the offensive linemen love. Now, for the Tennessee Titans, so we're going for the 2022 champions to the 2020 from the 2021 champions. Sorry, buddy. When it comes down to new faces here, who's the most important new face in Tennessee? But if not Treylon Burks, then who?
Oh, no, don't worry. There's another guy who may make more of an impact for the Titans right out of the gate, like week one, week two. He may score like more fantasy points than Treylon Burks in week one. And it's Kyle Phillips, the rookie wide receiver out of UCLA, the fifth round pick. He has just been incredibly impressive in camp. He has been incredibly impressive in joint practices against other teams in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Arizona Cardinals. He is your typical Hunter Renfrow, Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola, slot wide receiver. And he has just been able to get open consistently. One unnamed Tennessee Titans defender actually said, "We haven't found a way to cover this guy a couple of weeks into camp as a rookie." So I think Ryan Tannehill, when he was at his best during his career, he had a guy like Jarvis Landry in the slot who was a consistent chain mover. He had a guy like, for a short period of time, though, but Adam Humphries was playing in the slot. So now that you have a guy like Austin Hooper, who I mentioned, who's a newcomer as well, you have that kind of guy who can be physical and get open over the middle and move the chains. And then you have a guy like Kyle Phillips coming in as a rookie. I think that could work out very well for Ryan Tannehill, feeling more comfortable with his, hey, nothing looks good, I got to go to one of my chain movers. And having two newcomers in Hooper and the rookie Kyle Phillips, I think that could be really important for Ryan Tannehill getting back on track.
Big time for that Tennessee Titans offense. Will it be the offense or defense for the Houston Texans? Cody Davis, Locked On Texans, most important newcomer in the city of Houston. Who is it?
We talked about Davis Mills. We talked about Damian Pierce, but neither one of those guys can do anything if they don't have a solid offensive line to utilize on the field. And the one guy that I'm looking at is rookie offensive lineman Kenyon Green. You guys know the Houston Texans, it seemed like it's been forever since the interior of that offensive line has looked good. And with Kenyon Green coming in, at first I had my doubts, but after what I saw Thursday against the San Francisco 49ers, I do believe in that young man. This is a guy, throughout his 3 years at Texas A&M, he only gave up 5 sacks. One came last season. And the best part, what I like about Kenyon Green, his best on-field attribute as an offensive lineman is his ability to utilize him as a run blocker. And with a guy like Damian Pierce, he is a guy that can get guys from the one to the second level on that offensive line. And I can't wait to see what he's going to be able to do. Put it like this, against the San Francisco 49ers, he pancaked somebody that created a lane for Marlon Mack to gain 23 yards. If he could do that for Marlon Mack, I can't wait to see what he's going to do when he's trying to create space for Damian Pierce.
Gotta love a good pancake on the football field. Now, I'm not just saying that because I'm a Prince fan. I'm saying that because I'm a football fan. Y'all, I appreciate it so much here with the AFC South preview. It is Tyler Roland, Locked On Titans, Jake Arthur and Zach Hicks of Locked On Colts, Cody Davis of Locked On Texans, and Tony Wiggins of Locked On Jaguars. Coming up next, we're going to be visiting with Lee Sterling of Locked On Bets, who's going to help you set the edge and hopefully walk away with some Skrilla, thanks to the betting advice from our friends over at the Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network. So we got that coming up for you as we continue on and wrap up the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 here as a part of the Odyssey and Locked On Podcast Network.
Setting the Edge with Lee Sterling of Locked On Bets
All right, everybody, it is time to set the edge with Lee Sterling of Locked On Bets, your daily betting podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. You find it every Monday through Friday, along with your boy Q, helping you make sure that you're raking in those dollars over the course of the NFL season, but also NBA, MLB. Lee, you do it all. You do it all over on Locked On Bets.
UFC, hockey. Yep. I've got someone here working on my office, and if we're doing it in tandem, that's what it's all about.
That's it. That's it. You can find more, of course, at Paramount Sports. Lee, let's start off over here with the AFC South. Today, we've got the Indianapolis Colts favored to win the division at minus 140. Then you have a little bit of a drop off here. You get into plus 185 for the Tennessee Titans, plus 600 for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then plus 3300 for the Houston Texans. Looking at this, where do you go here in the AFC South? Do you go with the favorites, or do you think a team like the Tennessee Titans, who have the second best odds, might be able to pull this division out?
So with some of these other divisions, we're going to go with you know, taking a shot and think maybe they've got the odds wrong. I don't think so here. I think Indianapolis is the play. Matt Ryan is a huge upgrade at quarterback. And if you watch what Carson Wentz did, the turnovers last year, and you know, then they had, he got injured towards the end. He was never the same. But Matt Ryan's going to be a huge upgrade. I think Michael Pittman Jr. also, if you play fantasy, look at this guy. He could end up catching 110, 120, 130 balls. He is a stud. I mean, he wants it. He goes after the ball. Yards after catch, call that yak yards. Mm-hmm. He's the guy there. And they've got all these. When I look at teams, I like to have guys, high-level players at each level. For instance, defensive line. They've got a guy that can get to the quarterback in Buckner. They've got a linebacker, maybe the best middle linebacker in the game. Yep. Got to also have someone on the back end. And not just, you know, how many sacks they have. Third and five. Can they – a defensive back, can he knock a pass down? Can a linebacker make a play on third and five, one-on-one with a linebacker, with a running back right before the sticks and make a team punt? And I think they've got that there. And I think actually the coaching staff is above average. So I like Indianapolis to win the division.
That linebacker that you referred to, of course, Darius Leonard. And man, look, if there's any linebacker I'm trusting on a third and five or a second and short, it's Darius Leonard, because that guy's going to be able to make a play for you for sure. Looking at team wins, the over-under for the Indianapolis Colts currently set at 9.5. You've got them winning the division. Do you also have them going over 9.5 wins in 2022?
I do. It's probably my second strongest play in the AFC after Pittsburgh. So, yeah, I love the over 9.5. I mean, this is a team. Look, you get to play Houston and Jacksonville twice. So that should be four wins right there. And home field is an advantage there. And, you know, as long as they don't get the injury bug or COVID like they had last year and just had some bad luck. And then that last game against Jacksonville was a disaster. I think it's going to motivate them. So, yeah, I like the over a lot.
Yeah, and I think it's hard to ignore the upgrade at quarterback, as you mentioned there, going to Matt Ryan. I watched the New Orleans Saints play Matt Ryan twice a year for his entire career up until this season, and the guy does nothing but produce and get sacked by Cam Jordan. Those are the two things that he does. You know what I mean? And he doesn't have Cam Jordan to worry about in that division anymore. And it very much kind of feels like a little bit of a two-team race in this division. Felt like that last year. You've got the Colts and the Titans. So the Colts at 9.5 for their over under in terms of their win total, Tennessee Titans at 9. How close do you think these two teams really are?
I think they're close, but I think Indianapolis upgraded at quarterback a lot. And not just, you know, throwing the football, the turnovers. I mean, Carson Wentz, he just didn't have pocket awareness sometimes. I don't know what happened. And I'm telling you this from a guy that studies quarterbacks, having played in college football. He at one time was the best quarterback in the NFL that one year until he got hurt. Yep. He was on fire. I don't know whether he took too many hits. I don't know what it is, but he's just a little split second slower in his decision making, and he doesn't see a lot of times that edge rusher coming off the backside, and that was a real problem. Tennessee with Ryan Tannehill, I'm very familiar being here in Miami. I know him. Very similar. Doesn't see the blindside rusher. Just doesn't feel him. And that's from, remember, played receiver, Texas A&M. So, you know, really wasn't a quarterback until his senior year.
That's right.
For some reason, some quarterbacks have it, some don't. You don't see Tom Brady fumbling 8-10 times a year.
Right.
Ryan Tannehill does that. And in big games, look what he did in the playoffs. Just totally imploded. So that's a problem. And now he's got new receivers. He had good receivers last year. Got a couple new receivers. I think it's going to take him some time. Then you got Derek and got Henry. I mean, at one time, until he got hurt, the best running back in the NFL.
Yep.
Now we don't know. A running back gets to that age, gets to, you know, 27, 28, taking a lot of hits, having a serious injury. I have my concerns. And then their defense is hit or miss. So also on top of everything else, not a big fan of their coaching staff. So compared, you know, to the better teams, I'm going to go under. I think that they're going to be probably an 8, at most a 9-win team, but not one of my top selections, but I think Indy's the cream of the crop there.
Yeah. Look, I got to tell you, I don't think Derrick Henry is, by the end of 2022, I don't think we're talking about Derrick Henry as the best running back in the NFL. That guy might be across the division in Jonathan Taylor or over in another part of the conference in Nick Chubb, if I'm being honest. Like, I like those guys a lot more than I like where Derrick Henry is headed. Jacksonville Jaguars over under 6.5. They've obviously, you know, upgraded their coaching staff quite a bit, but have they done enough to eclipse that mark?
I think they'll be better. Yeah. I mean, it was a disaster, that coaching staff.
Yeah, man.
I mean, everything, the way they talk to guys, you know, you can't have a lot of college coaches making the jump at one time. We've seen it happen over the years, usually a recipe for disaster. Better, but still a lot of holes on this team. So you'll see some players. They've got some pass rushers. They've got, you know, Travis Etienne, if he's healthy, running and catching the ball could be a big, big threat. I've also got Robinson. But if Trevor Lawrence, you know, they can keep him upright, you know, they'll win some games. But 6.5, I was a little shocked by this number. I thought they were going to come like 5, 5.5. Remember this about the AFC. A lot of people don't realize when they bet these things, they have 8 home games and 9 away games.
Yeah, that's right.
Important. When you're betting totals, the average person doesn't do their type of that deep homework to know that. So I'm going to go under. I think they win 5 or 6 games.
Yeah, it's a really great point.
I'm sorry, under.
I think it's such a great point in terms of the 17-game season now, teams alternating more home games one season, more away games the other season, right, the next season. Yeah. And, of course, the Jaguars are one of the ones that falls under the under in terms of home games with only 8 this offseason. And then finally, as we look over to the Houston Texans, I know there's a lot of question marks about this team, obviously, and of course, but 4.5 right now is where the win total is set. You're going over under here.
They might win 5 games.
Yeah.
Not a real strong opinion. I like this kid, Damian Pierce. Thinks he'll be a real good running back.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they try some things out and they're open to, you know, playing the younger kids, I think they can win 5 games. You know, the end of the year last year, they were a tough out. So they didn't quit. I do like that and what we saw with this team. But Mills is okay. You know, we'll know more probably by midseason whether he's the guy. But I would go with Pierce at running back. And they need some receivers bad. And some more playmakers, obviously, on defense. But you know, I think they're gonna be on the way up though.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think, you know, giving Davis Mills that running back that he can rely on. I think Damian Pierce, he was my running back 1 coming out of the draft. I really liked him. He was my top running back this year. And so I love what we saw from him in the preseason. We'll see if he can carry that over to the regular season. Now, when it comes to the AFC Championship for the AFC South, top odds go to the Indianapolis Colts at plus 1,200. You've got the Tennessee Titans at plus 2,000. How are you feeling about what you're seeing from those two teams within the AFC conference landscape?
I think it's going to be tough. You know, the AFC is totally different than the NFC. There's legitimately 13 teams that can make the playoffs. So you got to run the gauntlet. They would have to have home field advantage. And sometimes in the playoffs, it just hasn't equated into a home field advantage like New England or, you know, some of these other teams when they're playing at home, like Kansas City. So I think it's going to be tough. I don't think the winner for the conference is going to come out of this division, but could be a nice race between Indianapolis and Tennessee. But I think Indianapolis, I think it's their time.
Yeah. Plus 15,000 for the Texans. How you feel about that one? I'm
just kidding. No. you can throw your money, you know, and when you into a wishing well or something like that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I'll go have dinner. That's what I'll do.
There's been some long shots. You know, we saw the Rams, you know, with Kurt Warner,
right?
Win at 75-1. This team isn't it.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 presented by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure that you come back tomorrow as we continue on with this 8-episode series with the AFC East. The Buffalo Bills are not only looking for division dominance, but they have league championship aspirations as well. But in order to get there, the New England Patriots and Miami Dolphins are standing in the way, while the Jets have their own definition of improvement. Tomorrow, it's the AFC East. Until then, I'm Ross Jackson, and I appreciate you so much for joining, listening, or watching. And of course, thank you to our friends over at Odyssey as well. Make sure that you find the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, and on the Locked On NFL YouTube page to make sure that you don't miss an episode.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Setting the Edge with Lee Sterling of Locked On Bet.
All right, everybody, it is time to set the edge with Lee Sterling of Locked On Bets, your daily betting podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. You find it every Monday through Friday, along with your boy Q, helping you make sure you're raking in those dollars over the course of the NFL season, but also NBA, MLB. Lee, you do it all. You do it all over on Locked On Bets.
UFC, hockey. Yep. I've got someone here working on my office, and if we're doing it in tandem, that's what it's all about.
That's it. You can find more, of course, at Paramount Sports. Lee, let's start off over here with the AFC South. Today, we've got the Indianapolis Colts favored to win the division at minus 140. Then you have a little bit of a drop off here. You get into plus 185 for the Tennessee Titans, plus 600 for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then plus 3,300 for the Houston Texans. Looking at this, where do you go here in the AFC South? Do you go with the favorites, or do you think a team like the Tennessee Titans, who have the second best odds, might be able to pull this division out?
So with some of these other divisions, we're going to go with you know, taking a shot and think maybe they've got the odds wrong. I don't think so here. I think Indianapolis is the play. Matt Ryan is a huge upgrade at quarterback. And if you watch what Carson Wentz did, the turnovers last year, and you know, then they had, he got injured towards the end. He was never the same. But Matt Ryan's going to be a huge upgrade. I think Michael Pittman Jr. Also, if you play fantasy, look at this guy. He could end up catching 110, 120, 130 balls. He is a stud. I mean, he wants it. He goes after the ball. Yards after catch, call that yak yards. He's the guy there. And they've got all these – when I look at teams, I like to have guys, high-level players at each level. For instance, defensive line. They've got a guy that can get to the quarterback in Buckner. They've got a linebacker, maybe the best middle linebacker in the game. Got to also have someone on the back end. And not just, you know, how many sacks they have. Third and five, can they – a defensive back, can he knock a pass down? Can a linebacker make a play on third and five, one-on-one with a linebacker, with a running back right before the sticks and, and make a team punt? And I think they've got that there. And I think actually the coaching staff is above average. So I like Indianapolis to win the division.
That linebacker that you referred to, of course, Darius Leonard. And man, look, if there's any linebacker I'm trusting on a third and five or a second and short, it's Darius Leonard, because that guy's going to be able to make a play for you for sure. Looking at team wins, the over-under for the Indianapolis Colts currently set at 9.5. You've got them winning the division. Do you also have them going over 9.5 wins in 2022?
I do. It's probably my second strongest play in the AFC after Pittsburgh. So, yeah, I love the over 9.5. I mean, this is a team. Look, you get to play Houston and Jacksonville twice. So that should be four wins right there. And home field is an advantage there. And, you know, as long as they don't get the injury bug or COVID like they had last year and just had some bad luck. And then that last game against Jacksonville was a disaster. I think it's going to motivate them. So, yeah, I like the over a lot.
Yeah, and I think it's hard to ignore the upgrade at quarterback, as you mentioned there, going to Matt Ryan. I watched the New Orleans Saints play Matt Ryan twice a year for his entire career up until this season, and the guy does nothing but produce and get sacked by Cam Jordan. Those are the two things that he does. You know what I mean? And he doesn't have Cam Jordan to worry about in that division anymore. And it very much kind of feels like a little bit of a two-team race in this division. Felt like that last year. You've got the Colts and the Titans. So the Colts at 9.5 for their over under in terms of their win total. Tennessee Titans at 9. How close do you think these two teams really are?
I think they're close, but I think Indianapolis upgraded at quarterback a lot. And not just, you know, throwing the football, the turnovers. I mean, Carson Wentz, he just didn't have pocket awareness sometimes. I don't know what happened. And I'm telling you this from a guy that studies quarterbacks, having played in college football. He at one time was the best quarterback in the NFL that one year until he got hurt. He was on fire. I don't know whether he took too many hits. I don't know what it is, but he's just a little split second slower in his decision making, and he doesn't see a lot of times that edge rusher coming off the backside, and that was a real problem. Tennessee with Ryan Tannehill, I'm very familiar being here in Miami. I know him. Very similar. Doesn't see the blindside rusher. Just doesn't feel him. And that's from, remember, played receiver, Texas A&M. So, you know, really wasn't a quarterback until his senior year. For some reason, some quarterbacks have it, some don't. You don't see Tom Brady fumbling 8-10 times a year. Ryan Tannehill does that. And in big games, look what he did in the playoffs. Just totally imploded. So, that's a problem. And now he's got new receivers. He had good receivers last year, got a couple new receivers. I think it's going to take him some time. Then you got Derek and got Henry. I mean, at one time, until he got hurt, the best running back in the NFL. Now we don't know. A running back gets to that age, gets to, you know, 27, 28, taking a lot of hits, having a serious injury. I have my concerns. And then their defense is hit or miss. So,
yep.
Also, on top of everything else, not a big fan of their coaching staff. So, compared, you know, to the better teams, I'm going to go under. I think that they're going to be probably an 8, at most a 9 win team, but not one of my top selections. But I think Indy's the cream of the crop there.
Yeah. Look, I got to tell you, I don't think Derrick Henry is, by the end of 2022, I don't think we're talking about Derrick Henry as the best running back in the NFL. That guy might be across the division in Jonathan Taylor or over in another part of the conference in Nick Chubb, if I'm being honest. Like, I like those guys a lot more than I like where Derrick Henry is headed. Jacksonville Jaguars over under 6.5. They've obviously, you know, upgraded their coaching staff quite a bit, but have they done enough to eclipse that mark?
I think they'll be better. Yeah. I mean, it was a disaster, that coaching staff.
Yeah, man.
I mean, everything, the way they talk to guys, you know, you can't have a lot of college coaches making the jump at one time. We've seen it happen over the years, usually a recipe for disaster. Better, but still a lot of holes on this team. So you'll see some players. They've got some pass rushers. They've got, you know, Travis Etienne, if he's healthy, running and catching the ball, could be a big, big threat. I've also got Robinson. But if Trevor Lawrence, you know, they can keep him upright, you know, they'll win some games. But 6.5, I was a little shocked by this number. I thought they were going to come like 5, 5.5. Remember this about the AFC. A lot of people don't realize when they bet these things, they have 8 home games and 9 away games.
Yeah, that's right.
Important when you're betting totals. The average person doesn't do their type of that deep homework to know that. So I'm going to go under. I think they win 5 or 6 games.
Yeah, it's a really great point.
I'm sorry, under.
Yeah. I think it's such a great point in terms of the 17-game season now. Teams alternating more home games one season, more away games the other season, right? The next season. Yeah. And of course, the Jaguars are one of the ones that falls under the under in terms of home games with only 8 this offseason. And then finally, as we look over to the Houston Texans, I know there's a lot of question marks about this team, obviously, and of course, but 4.5 right now is where the win total is set. You're going over under here.
They might win 5 games.
Yeah.
Not a real strong opinion. I like this kid, Damian Pierce. Thinks he'll be a real good running back.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they try some things out and they're open to, you know, playing the younger kids, I think they can win 5 games. You know, the end of the year last year, they were a tough out. So they didn't quit. I do like that and what we saw with this team. But Mills is okay. You know, we'll know more probably by midseason whether he's the guy. But I would go with Pierce at running back. And they need some receivers bad. And some more playmakers, obviously, on defense. But you know, I think they're gonna be on the way up though.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think, you know, giving Davis Mills that running back that he can rely on. I think Damian Pierce, he was my running back 1 coming out of the draft. I really liked him. He was my top running back this year. And so I love what we saw from him in the preseason. We'll see if he can carry that over to the regular season. Now, when it comes to the AFC Championship for the AFC South, top odds go to the Indianapolis Colts at plus 1,200. You've got the Tennessee Titans at plus 2,000. How are you feeling about what you're seeing from those two teams within the AFC conference landscape?
I think it's going to be tough. You know, the AFC is totally different than the NFC. There's legitimately 13 teams that can make the playoffs. So you got to run the gauntlet. They would have to have home field advantage. And sometimes in the playoffs, it just hasn't equated into a home field advantage like New England or, you know, some of these other teams when they're playing at home, like Kansas City. So I think it's going to be tough. I don't think the winner for the conference is going to come out of this division, but could be a nice race between Indianapolis and Tennessee. But I think Indianapolis, I think it's their time.
Yeah. Plus 15,000 for the Texans. How you feel about that one?
I'm just kidding. No. you can throw your money, you know, and when you into a wishing well or something like that.
Yeah.
But
I'll go have dinner. That's what I'll do.
There's been some long shots. You know, we saw the Rams, you know, with Kurt Warner,
right?
Win at 75-1. This team isn't it.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022, presented by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure that you come back tomorrow as we continue on with this 8-episode series with the AFC East. The Buffalo Bills are not only looking for division dominance, but they have league championship aspirations as well. But in order to get there, the New England Patriots and Miami Dolphins are standing in the way, while the Jets have their own definition of improvement. Tomorrow, it's the AFC East. Until then, I'm Ross Jackson, and I appreciate you so much for joining, listening, or watching. And of course, thank you to our friends over at Odyssey as well. Make sure that you find the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, and on the Locked On NFL YouTube page to make sure that you don't miss an episode.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.